Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich, and I am joined by Mr. Adam Murray. Adam, how are you doing?
I am doing good, with the exception of, you know, these playoffs being what we're pretty much going to see for a while now, isn't it?
Well, I mean, as we're recording this, we're past game one. Game two will be later tonight. But remember, that was kind of the same story at the beginning of the NBA Finals last year, where Golden State just kind of like rummaged over Cleveland, and everybody was just spelling doom for the Cavs, maybe in a sweep. And then the tables got turned a little bit, and when they went to Cleveland for their homestand, and all those shenanigans happened with the Draymond Green suspension, the Andrew Bogut injury. You know, I don't know. I just don't ever want to spell out game one for the end of a series. I mean, I do remember though with Boston. I remember the Boston Cleveland series, like. Game one, I was like, oh, this is over. Like, well, there are some game ones where you're like, you're just sure that this is not going to go the way that you want it to
go. Well, yes, and everything starts with game three, and, you know, you have to win the first game on the road. But I was referring to more as just, you know, as we're going through our playoff teams with our playlist, I don't really see either of these two teams not being in the finals next year, or maybe the year after it.
I can see the Warriors possibly weakening depending on their free agency, because they have so many free agents. They're going to have a whole different what's a good word, like supporting cast behind their core. But if the core stays the way it is, then it's going to be hard to see. But if there's like some drop off with like guys like Draymond Green and maybe Andre Iguodala, they're not producing as well, maybe somebody in the West will get them. But and then with Cleveland, I don't think any of these teams, except for maybe Boston, are strong enough to really overtake Cleveland.
Yeah, and that's sort of, it's sort of depressing to be like, all right, we have the same thing year in and year out, and, oh, that's great for basketball. These are two dynasties. Yeah, but, you know, there's 28 other teams who...
Yeah, but it's great. It's great for the headlines. It's great if you're just looking at the year to year. Like, if you go to the Wikipedia page and you look at the NBA Finals, it's a great story. It's the two,
it's a great
same
story, but after a while, people get sick of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. So here we are. We're going to be kind of responsible for doing all the teams that made the NBA playoffs for our playlist version. Now, we have 16 teams versus the way that we did it with the West and the East for the teams that didn't make the playoffs for our playlist preview. So we're going to be going through these pretty rapid fire, you know, try to kind of limit it to, as, you know, we're going to be as detailed as possible, but in a very, very short allotted amount of time. So we got a nice little bevy of teams to snake through. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to start at the top, and we're just going to start with the NBA Finals participants. And I just let Adam take the choice for the song so that we don't have dueling songs and discuss all that, and we could just kind of go from there.
Why? You don't want to pick your boy bands or obscure songs that nobody's ever heard of?
I was too lazy. I didn't have enough time to actually feed through the song, like any kind of song for these teams. It's just been a bit of a whirlwind. But no, I don't have any kind of obscure boy band songs this time, unfortunately. I wish I did, though.
You'll maybe probably come up with one or two. I got that feeling.
Exactly. Let's just start with the finals participants. We'll start, because Cleveland's the defending champion, we'll start with Cleveland Cavaliers. First of all, what's your song? Give me your sort of overview of them as you go into the off season. Any kind of concerns?
Well, we could do both of them at the same time, Cleveland and Golden State.
Okay.
They're going to be both so far repeat offenders with the luxury tax. Cleveland, Golden State will be their first time. And they're both going to keep spending the most. So what's going to happen? You have your core, and you're not going to replace Love, Irving, and LeBron, and then Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson. So we know you have the core. They're going to get, you know, you have your high price starting lineup. They're going to get old veterans. You're going to get, you know, who's available next year. You're going to get, you know, Meta World Peace, Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, you'll get a late season pickup.
Vince Carter,
one of
Jason Terry will probably be on one of these two. You know, they're the ring chasers. So both teams are pretty much the same. Your benches will be depleted every year. You got to find veterans who are willing to accept that role. And
the one thing I'm concerned with is that they do need a backup small forward. They do. They need to get a guy that just relieve LeBron for the very few games or minutes that he does relieve himself. That's gotta happen eventually.
Nobody. LeBron's not taking himself out. Coach LeBron does not get out of the game.
He doesn't, but you need something just in case there's some unforeseen things. Like, they even picked up Derek Williams. Derek Williams doesn't – I mean, he's not really a small forward anyway. You know, they play a lot of small ball at the three when LeBron sits, where they play, like, Shumpert, Smith, and Kyrie Irving a lot. Or they'll even go – I mean, have you noticed in the playoffs sometimes they'll go with Darren Williams and Kyrie Irving at the same time? You know, what about Darren? Do you think he's kind of earned his way through there to maybe get like a minimum something above a minimum salary to stay in Cleveland?
No, they have nothing to offer a minimum salary other than a minimum veterans minimum. Where is their money? They're over the tax once LeBron.
They're basically used every exemption, and they're past the tax. Like, they're past the cap apron.
And when LeBron opts out this year and gets his $40 million. They're just going to be so far over again, and, you know, there's really no hope for them. Golden State, the same thing, now that everybody's opted out. Well, Durant will take less. Yeah, like, he'll take, I'll take two or three less. He's not going to be like, well, I'll sign for...
Yeah, I read that report. So, yeah, the only concern there with the Cleveland free agency is Kyle Korver. We'll see about that. I think he's probably going to leave. He'll get paid somewhere else. But I don't think it's going to be like a huge miss if they don't keep him. For Golden State, the biggest questions obviously are Curry in the free agency and then Kevin Durant with the opt-out.
Well, the biggest ones are Sean Livingston and Iguodala. We know Curry and Durant are going to stay.
Yeah, the key is there, like you mentioned, is that will Durant take slightly less than max, 35% max? And also the fact that they have the luxury of having Curry's full bird rights so that they can go well over and not have all of it go against the cap, which can help with their cap numbers.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because they're going to be so far over the luxury tax.
Go ahead.
I was just... going to say, for both teams, I've chose the $1 million man.
Are you
have
big
no
Ted
problem
DiBiase
paying out
fan?
$50 million.
You're a big $1 million man fan.
So okay,
yeah. who's Virgil then?
I like
who's Virgil
him,
then.
And,
is that
and,
is that
you know,
Sean
Virgil
Livingston?
And he was one of the more.
I understand that.
I'm going to defer on that one.
I will list off, other than Curry and Durant, the other possible free agents for Golden State. Iguodala, Ian Clark, Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, Matt Barnes, Sean Livingston, David West, and then James Michael McAdoo is a restricted free agent. Give me how many of them will be back? Clark's gone. You think Pachulia is gone? You think even JaVale McGee is gone?
They're probably going to try to keep Iguodala, and then that probably... All of them, there's no money to really do much with them, so if somebody just offers slightly more, which teams will, because, you know, oh, they're champions, therefore they must be good and just sort of buried, then there's no reason for them to stay for half, you know, or quarter of the price. They have their rings, they have their...
But they're a championship caliber team, obviously, anyway, but... They're going to woo away some of these guys. I mean, Ian Clark will probably get overpaid somewhere else. You know, it's going to happen. Livingston is finished, by the way. Like, I'm watching him.
Yeah, Livingston will get overpaid. Same thing with
he can barely move. Like, he's just not what he used to be. Yes.
Yeah, but is he going to take even more of a discount? Is he going to be on veterans minimum now? If you have, you know, with the biannual exemption, what are you going to do with Iguodala? Is he going to take less?
Here's a serious question, and then we'll get off these two.
You know,
are there any actual room for improvement for either of these teams? Is there something where you can say, well, this guy could help, or maybe someone at this position could help?
No, we are where we are with them, and there's really nowhere to go because it's just they're both at their peak, and they're just going to get older. You could say, you know, Cleveland, well, you need to get sort of younger because your core supporters of Channing Frye, who's old, and your lack of a bench, well, but you're just going to get other garbage bench people. Same thing, Golden State.
And then
State.
Build
well,
the
rest
of the bottom.
Well, we'll just bring in
exactly.
other people who
just based
are
on what you have available to you.
We have our starting five.
Let's
they
just go ahead and go to the conference
That's
finals
it.
Participants
both...
that lost in the conference finals. We'll start in the Western Conference this time. We'll start with the this is going to be the San Antonio Spurs, who were swept by the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, very unfortunate with Kawhi Leonard with the ankle trouble, where he missed Game 6 against Houston, even though they blew out Houston in that game, and then missed almost the entirety of the Golden State series, kind of spelled doom for the Spurs. Their cap space situation is actually pretty good. Like they're over, but not like well over. They do have Manu Ginobili's balloon payment coming off of their books. First of all, just right off the top, has it Manu Ginobili play his last game? Oh, okay.
Probably not. He'll,
yeah, Ray Allen was considering that, and then
run,
he was in. He was like not even close to play,
those,
like,
I'm gonna
playing shape,
February
and nobody bid on it.
Type deals.
Pau Gasol, will he opt out of that $16 million a year? But will it be from the Spurs? Because if you take
yeah,
off
opt
Gasol's
out,
books and you're able to trade Tony Parker from Ginobili's contract coming off, you might be able to make
like
a stab at what the rumor has been going on is Chris Paul. Like, do you feel like the Spurs would actually go after something like that? It seems very un-Spurs-like to do that.
Yeah. It seems on Spurs.
Well, he
like,
wasn't good
also,
when he...
they did that with LaMarcus Aldridge.
You know, I hate to say
that
because he was really good against the Rockets. He had a really
and,
good matchup.
You know, that sort of
when they went out with that
results,
hip, with that injury.
Really...
And then against the Warriors, he was just really bad. Outside of game one, he was worthless. You know, he could not really do much against them. He's effective, but it depends on the matchup is really what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Yeah, but do you see the Spurs in a scenario where R.C. Buford has to do that
he's
typical
but he's
title
not that
chasing,
dominant,
cap clearing
you know,
type of stuff that just angers a lot of fans because you're basically dumping long-time players just so that you can get to that number. You know, Boston, who we'll talk about in a second, might be in a similar situation if they get the right promise from the right agent. But do you think the Spurs would be willing to do this, or do you think they'll maybe re-sign Patty Mills, keep Danny Green, be able to hold on to Tony Parker, even though he probably won't. He told Lake Heap that he's not going to be back until January, probably with that torn. Is it an Achilles tendon or something of that nature? It's a serious injury. He won't be back until January of 2018, is what he told a French newspaper. So he's going to be out for quite a long time.
I want to say Achilles.
Big questions
yeah,
there, but the thing is, the Spurs are equipped cap wise to handle it because even though the numbers are right at or just over the cap, they're not so far over that they can't make any moves. They're not straddled. He was on minimum.
Well,
yeah,
here's
he was
the
on
thing.
Nothing.
They are and they aren't.
Like,
they have the money, but like
at
you said,
$3 million
they have
was declined. So guess what?
Cost them.
You're going to probably
Dwayne
go
Dedman
double that to
will
keep
cost
him.
Them because he overachieved last year.
Dedman will probably get like 9 or 10. Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go again. If Bismack Biyombo could get $16 million, if Mozgov could get, he got what, 15? Yeah, he'll get 10 or 12 in the open market. So that's one of the things. This is the last year of the guard. It's one of those, well, do you want to make a splashy move? Because the time is going to have to slowly change for them. They've had their,
David,
you know, their core
oh, go ahead.
Parker
I know
and
you're
Ginobili
finishing
and no longer Duncan now. And, well, we replace Duncan
that's
with Gasol.
That's
what
I was about to say.
Yeah,
he's at, 30, he's
same,
at age 33. He'll be
you know,
34 next
old,
year. Like, do you think
IQ
he's like, you but, think he's kind of overachieved to a point where maybe, hey, we can make
David
this work.
Lee,
he can be
who,
kind of a surprisingly good defensive five type of guy, you know? Okay.
No, he's just sort of the limited role guy now. He's slowed down, you know, significantly from what he was, especially, you know, in Dallas, and then when, you know, he was
yes,
lazy in Boston. But he's just a bad
Bertans
Spurs,
was okay.
You know, they're too busy.
Like, but
let's
he,
get the
it didn't
next
really
best Euro,
show
you know,
all the
best
time.
Euro
he's got
available
a little
drafting
bit better ups
well,
than people thought, and he could shoot well
like
from the three-point line. But other than that,
few,
he was just another and, Euro guy.
But I'm saying you have, you know, look at Gobert, look at Jokic. There are some Euros coming in that usually you'd think, oh, they're going to go to San Antonio immediately, and other teams are now.
Well, you know, their philosophy has kind of changed over the years. Like, they got Kyle Anderson a few years ago, late in the first round. They got DeJounte Murray last year, who actually surprisingly played well when he had to fill in after Tony Parker's injury. I don't know if that's something that they can reasonably go to. If Patty Mills can't be kept too, because remember, someone's got to start the first half of the season for the Spurs. If they let Patty Mills walk and they trade Tony Parker's contract, then you know something's up with the Chris Paul stuff. If not, then it's going to be same old Spurs in the backcourt. My one interest is Jonathan Simmons. What's exactly his restricted free agency situation? Is it something more of the arenas provision type of scenario?
Yeah,
because he was an undrafted free agent. Would you do it for Jonathan Simmons? I know that a lot of people in Miami are already dreading the Dyla Johnson contract. Like, would you do that with Jonathan Simmons?
I think so. You could do 2 years and then do the balloon payment thing. No, because he's not.
Well, I think the way the nuclear to the original team,
you know,
in which
Tyler
you do not exactly,
player,
they now give you the option that you do not have to exactly match
is gonna
the
be, well, one
of
those. Well,
of
oh, he could become a superstar.
Because the thing is,
well,
that for teams like they can
really
only pay
out.
You so much percentage of like so much increased percentage of your previous salary. So that's why these balloon payments happen. They are stuck with having to pay you only so much in those first 2 years, and then you can pay them whatever you want to on the back end. And that's why these arenas provision offer sheets happen, where a second round pick or an undrafted free agent comes into restricted free agency and you could do all this stuff. But the thing is, now the original team, like Jordan Clarkson, you could just rip it up and say, okay, we'll just give you 4 years, $50 million. And then if he takes it, he takes it, you know? It saves you in the interim if you want a Chris Paul, you know.
Yeah, you could do that, but then again, also it screws you for that current year because you might not have $12 million for Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, the Cowboys and the Redskins.
But,
paid for this.
We do
think,
a couple
in like 2010, 2011, when they were constantly
New Orleans
the
Saints.
And
let's
they
just
had to pay the Piper down
kick
the road.
The ball down the field for a couple years.
Bad estimation. Yeah.
Well, that, and they also, there was that 1 year where there was no salary cap. So the Cowboys and the Redskins said, well, we're just going to spend whatever because there's no rules. And other teams are like, we think something might happen. So they're like, well, because you got, come
Which
on.
Which one's
guys.
That?
So they had to pay for that. But it's just the same thing of, well, we'll sign you to this balloon payment. We'll find money down the road. But
last
now
dance,
you're super
huh?
cheap. So it's the
Let's dance. Left.
So for San Antonio, I have gotten maybe one of your favorites, maybe not. A classic disco song,
Tony,
Donna
Tony's
Summer's
done.
Last Chance
I think
for
Tony's
love.
Done. Personally.
It's the last dance. See, you even knew what it was and I got it wrong.
He'll be 37
next
year.
This is the last go around for the old guard, for the old system. If Parker Yeah, he's done. If Ginobili comes back, it'll be a farewell year. If Gasol comes back, he has, what, 1-2 years left? They're not going to give him a long deal. Yeah, so, you know, he'll be one of those ring chasers in a year or two. So this is their last chance to, okay, we have our guys together. We have our philosophy.
Yeah,
we don't need to change too much
so
around.
Smart,
because
then you
when
can already
Parker's
tell,
gone,
even without
when
Parker,
Ginobili's gone,
even with Ginobili
have,
on his last,
let's
like,
say DeJounte,
he's still able to find
say,
something. I mean, having Kawhi Leonard
is now your
and LaMarcus Aldridge is a pretty
let's
great
say, you know,
luxury,
yes,
too. But we'll see if
in.
The
this team
if they want
to
really add something
style.
Big to the mix, or if they kind of just do that piddle-paddle stuff where they add, like, a buried treasure type of player and try to fit him into the Spurs system. We'll see. All right, Boston Celtics, your team. A lot of scenarios here because number one, the fact that they won that number one overall pick in the draft, very likely it's going to be Markel Fultz. We'll do our draft preview in a week or so. Avery Bradley had a really good year. He stepped up when Isaiah Thomas went down with the hip injury against Cleveland, even though it was for naught because they lost in five games. Marcus Smart, really good player, but he's right at the scenario where most are upcoming free agents or restricted free agents coming off of their rookie contract. They usually get paid either in the summer, this summer here, or they're going to get paid at the end of October when the negotiation deadline is. So what's your scenario with Marcus Smart? Like, what is he going to get traded if they need to clear some cap space to get to a really good max number for someone like Gordon Hayward, or I'm kind of spitballing here. Who's another big free agent they might go after? Yeah. Okay.
Paul George, Jimmy Butler, those are the names. I'm just going to start with the music and then work my way backwards. The music's going to be David Bowie Changes, because this team will be
Demetrius
100%
Jackson.
Different. They are, strangely enough, they're a rebuilding team.
Well, I take that back, because Rozier's development has made it easier for them to not
Amir
have to
Johnson
move up
Jackson. Gone, Jarebko gone. Because
they still have
gone.
Thomas there.
You're going to bring in
Is there any chance Isaiah Thomas gets traded? Because
they're number one.
You know, they could do a couple things. They could do what's that called? The one they did with Russell Westbrook just recently, the when you renegotiate the extension. Do you think that's possible for Isaiah Thomas, where they just say, you know what, if we can't get a Gordon Hayward, if we can't get a Blake Griffin, let's just go ahead and just stick with this nucleus and we'll give Thomas the money now? And all players take that, because it's either that or you have to risk having to play another year out to improve your worth and then get paid later. You'd rather get paid now, but Boston has to give him that option. Do you think that Boston will be willing to do that? Yes, he will.
No, they wouldn't be willing to do that because his contract is so cheap. And
I mean, would you be willing? I mean, he does so many good intangibles for that
people.
Team.
You have Avery Bradley.
I mean, across the board. I mean, is that a situation
deal,
where
okay,
you
can
do
with,
that and then trade him out of, and then maybe put in, you know, Jaylen Brown permanently as the starting three alongside Jay Crowder as like a small ball four?
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing, is you have so many different options, and there's going to be changes. They are officially this team, what we saw, that overachieved again. They're further ahead than they are.
Oh, it's going to be a very different team. But the thing is, with
those, well,
give me the reasonable scenario that they really get one of those big free agents, but they have to get to the $30 million mark, or maybe something just under, and have to move that around. Like, what's the reasonable? Give me a percentage of how reasonable that could actually happen. Okay, yeah, it's better than most. It's better than none. Yeah. Who's that? Gordon Hayward. Yeah, well, that's the rumor, but the word is that
I'm gonna say
you have to
fairly,
get the,
I'll say
30 million mark to get Gordon
good.
Hayward, because that's what
as
you're
opposed
talking
to
about.
The usual of I think Hayward's gonna give a serious look to playing in Boston. Yeah. That's what they could offer him, but it's players want to play on teams now, not with, you know, it'll be the, well, take $30 million. Well, will he take 26 to play with other people?
Would you still dangle that draft pick?
Or does he want, you know, is he going to chase
the
money for the highest value, or
is
he going to save a couple million
to
be with other people? That's the question. As for Jimmy Butler, I don't see that happening, because Chicago sounds confident that Dwayne Wade's going to resign. And if he... Yeah.
Well, with the Pelicans, they've been so bad at handling
the
draft and keeping their picks that I would just implore them to keep it. That's just a specific team. But in terms of like a generality, yeah, of course,
you dangle it to see what you could possibly get. And if you have a team willing to part with somebody huge.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, I would not trade for anything. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody. There's only, what, five
John
really
Wall.
untradeable people in the NBA, sort of? Harden,
Yeah.
Westbrook, Durant, Curry, and LeBron. Maybe Kyrie. Okay, Kawhi. But everybody else, hey, you want to trade, I'll trade, hey, I'll trade Wall for Westbrook. Well, who would blink first on that?
Well, no,
Oklahoma City probably no, but
it's obvious
Washington's
because
like, well, we
Boston is
need to
such
see,
a rabbit hole until we get to July.
it's one of
Once we
those,
get
there's
past the
always
4th of July, it's
somebody
going to be like,
who's,
oh, okay, now I see the game plan. But for
you could always
now,
trade up for
they
somebody.
have so
Well,
many
what's,
options because of the friendly
I'm
money they
getting,
have on
I'm
Bradley and Thomas
detracting,
that's
but
going to obviously be gone by 2018. So does Danny Ainge, is he going to feel like he's under the clock to really make it work and try to get a big contract and try to win a championship with those small contracts, along with another big name that they can add to Horford and Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart, and just try to make it all work for 1 year and risk the chance of losing, Smart and Thomas in the offseason? Or do you kind of stagger it out, try to get maybe a decent mid-sized name in free agency and not try to rock the boat so that you could try to keep the nucleus? It's going to be very, very interesting. Let's move on to the Utah Jazz because we just talked about the Gordon Hayward thing. Stayward has been very, very it's been fired up in Utah, huh? Do you think they should be afraid? Is there a reason to be afraid?
Pretty much, and well, that's only with Boston, nobody else. It's just, well, I played, he
They're
recruited
so
me, I know
flawed
him, I'm very well,
offensively
we're
to
good
me.
friends with him.
That's my biggest problem with the
It's a
Jazz is that
familiarity thing.
their
Well,
defense is
also,
really built up to a point
Utah
where
has done well to put
they're going to
pieces
be stout
around
every
him. Will
single
they
season, and
be
they have the
ever the top
built-in
echelon?
system,
I
but
don't
their
know now
offense is
because
just never going to get there unless
this
they get a
team has
huge
changed
jump from, either Rodney Hood or Derek Favors, who had an injury-riddled season. If he can bounce back and be like a 15 or 16 point per game guy, and then they would have to knock it out of the park in the draft one more time and get another really good player. I mean, they have two picks in the first round, but they got to get a really good one. Okay.
And the problem with them is they changed their
Yes,
philosophy and they're sort
as
of
restricted free
now
agents.
stuck at this middle road. They are another team who's at the crossroads because next year, not this, 2017-18, which is next year, is the final year for Favors, Exum, Hood, and Nato. So, as restrict, well, except for Favors.
Yeah, and Joe
But you need to
Johnson's going to be there
decide,
for
well,
another
am I going
season.
to keep this guy? Are they getting
George Hill,
extensions?
are
And the
they
same
getting this
thing
at
with
just the
Johnson
right time because
Diaw.
he's at
How
age
much do they
30?
have left
He
in the
had that
tank?
injury to
How
finish the
valuable is
postseason.
their coaching
Maybe he
expertise?
won't get
Their money
past
is
that
still going
maybe
to take away from other
$17 million
people.
threshold,
And,
or you think that he's
Johnson
kind of
takes
priced
minutes away
himself
from
out of
everybody
Utah's
else. And
range
Diaw, when he
if they
plays,
try to
minutes from
re-sign
everybody.
Hayward? Well, you can thank Exum for that because when Exum tore his ACL, they had to play
He's
Neto a
priced
lot.
himself
And
out
I'm
of
not trying to
Utah's
poo on
range, and that's
Raul
the
Neto. He
problem,
played okay at times in
is
the
they
playoffs.
went super
But
young for
he and
super
Exum
old
just,
now, and
they're not
well,
cutting the
now
mustard.
because
And
of
so they
George
knew it
Hill's,
and they realized, okay, we need to get a good point
really good
guard
season.
through a trade. And that's when they engineered the trade to get George Hill. Yeah, who's the other one that's kind of in that range? Is it well, Al Horford just recently, but there's another. It's
And
Paul
Hill
Millsap,
was
isn't it? Like
invaluable
he's
to
kind of
him,
in
and
that same area where
he's
you're
going to
hitting
be $100
30
million,
and you're
and it's
playing
one of those
really
where you're going
well,
to pay
but
somebody
you're
who's
obviously
going to be
playing for a contract.
35,
And once you
making,
get into that contract
$20
mode,
million
how
at
good are
the
you
end of
going to be
his.
once you get past your mid 30s or you get to your mid 30s, you know?
Yeah. Well, Millsap has overachieved, but
yes.
And then again, Millsap's 32.
Exactly.
And well,
like
if he
basically
gets a 5-year
for
deal,
Utah,
a 37-year-old who
it's not now
has
or
a lot
never.
Of miles on him,
it's
but
now
it's,
or next
Utah,
year.
It's just
because you know,
you
it,
have to
depending
what
on
you
what Hayward and Hill
you
do,
to,
there's a very light, there's a good likelihood you're not
going to
be able to get
if,
both
if
of them
Hayward
back and rope them in because you got
to,
like you were saying, retain so much on your cap for the following year so that you can bring in, so that you can re-sign Hood, re-sign Exum if you really like him, Raul Neto if you really like him. So you gotta, you know, hold all that. And then there's Derek Favors. And you know, we were kind of talking about how Favors played so well under the, you know, undercover that maybe you should renegotiate that contract since it's, you know, since it's a good contract for you guys. Maybe you don't want to hurt his feelings so that by 2018 when he's in free agency he doesn't bolt. Well, it kind of worked out in their favor that they didn't, because Favors had a down year. Now Favors has to bounce back next season if he wants to get paid. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and the good thing
yeah, well,
is
Joe Johnson
Gobert,
is like
so he's gonna
you
be
saw
there.
That in the
he's
playoffs. Like
problems
you can't let him go
issue.
Now. Like he...
So, the music I chose for them was Rod Stewart, Forever Young, because this team just went old super fast and they're sort of stuck with, well, now we need to keep all these old guys.
Which they're still paying for.
At
he's
the
all,
expense
he's
of all
he's
this young
be
development
they
had,
they
have to now toss it all away for these. I don't want to call Johnson and DL rentals, but at the same time,
how much would you rope out
and
as a restricted
one thing that really
agent
hurts
for Joe
is when they overpaid
like,
for Alec Burks.
What's the magic
a couple
number
years
on
ago?
An offer sheet? Like where you say, okay, we can't do this. Okay, so he's gone. You think his offer sheet will turn into a contract?
$13 million a year, I think, but he's only played 100 games in the last 3 years combined.
Mm-hmm. And let me say this too.
I don't think they can afford him.
Period. Like a scrappy white guy kind of guy, like a Brian Cardinal. Joe Ingles is a good player.
His offer sheet, well,
you know,
again,
he's one of those guys that can make
Hill,
your team better.
All your money.
Just by being
if you
around
resign
the team,
Ingles,
you know,
what
he
is
just,
that
he does
gonna
all
do
those
with Hood
things.
Next year? You're not going to all of a sudden get this money back.
Let's move on to the Raptors. They're kind of in a weird situation now because of the fact that they brought in Serge Ibaka at the trade deadline. There's already this, it's so funny because supposedly
good,
they're not
like
supposed
said,
to be able to make these negotiations already. But there's
the
already
people,
framework. Like kind of like Joakim Noah with the Knicks, how everybody knew that was going to happen like a good month before it was announced. Well, there's already kind of like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge that Ibaka is going to be back with the Raptors and that they've already kind of agreed to the framework of the contract. Is it something kind of around $17 million? Am I saying that right? It's up there, you know. But is it the right move?
Is it 17 or 20 in between those two numbers? But it depends what they do because they tried to get rid of Valanciunas to get DeMarcus
Cousins, you know, in the stands. So there's kind of like the idea that he's
and so they'll be looking to move him
unless he just gets
absolutely pulled
over with a great deal from another team with something around the $22 million mark,
however many million, 5 years when he's already 31 and.
Well, they're looking at that because he got injured in the Cavs series, but that wasn't going to make.
Well, nobody can outpay Toronto. It's just the thing of, well, do you want to go or do you not want to go? And you know, there's obviously the Toronto fans are like, "Good, get out of here. You're useless." But you know, you have no backup point guard. Oh well, we're Toronto. He got injured, and then, you know, he's also aging, so what's going to happen 4 years when his contract will just be an albatross?
Well, development for
Toronto
Powell in the future.
We've already
is
just
huge.
Talked
like,
them,
now
you know,
can,
just
if you want to build him as a
bat,
like
they've
a super
done
sub
everything
behind
they can.
DeRozan now that Terrence Ross is out of the picture.
To,
if you want
to
kind of make him like
got destroyed
a more of an offensive three versus Damari Carroll, who's the
beat Cleveland
defensive three. That's why I'm not worried about the PJ Tucker thing if they can't keep him in free agency, because Damari Carroll, even though he's slipped a bit, he still kind of serves that purpose. The one that worries me is that if you get Ibaka at 20 million and you're able to also re-sign Kyle Lowry, you're basically capped out. You've got no room for Patrick Patterson, who's going to probably be offered something in the range of 13 million or more. Powell and Joseph's Powell, Joseph's is a player option. Powell will be restricted. I don't think he's at the Marcus Smart, Jabari Parker,
no money
Andrew
for
Wiggins
Patrick
level
Patterson,
where
you have no money
you're going to have to get this guy signed
in.
Through
no
like
PJ Tucker
before
deals,
October.
No
I don't know. Would you agree with that, or do you think Powell will get that money? I mean, Gorgui Dieng is not that good, and he got that contract. Cody Zeller did too. They panicked, Adam. They feel like we got to get these guys in here.
He's good, but he's not. You know, he's not upper echelon money yet. Mm-hmm. Well, Dang was just $54 million. Zeller was overpaid. It's not.
What's the biggest need for the Raptors?
Evan Turner's not.
Norman
Powell's not going to get Evan Turner.
They got
money.
Ibaka coming in who can provide at least some defensive
far-fetched.
In,
it's one of
some
those
help
well,
in the interior defensively,
Johnson,
even though
you know,
a lot of people feel like he's kind of overrated
years.
With the
that's
shot blocking these days compared to how he was when he was younger. But like, what's the biggest need for Toronto? I think Korver would be a good fit there.
There's nothing they can do. This team
just kind of like thinking about it as I look at Cleveland's sheet. Like, I think
Lowry
that one would be okay. But I mean, would he be willing to take less than $10 million a year?
You know, I
don't think so.
Sharpshooter, but you know, Damari Carroll's not.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
That's one of those things as well. If you're going to take $10 million,
like
less than $10 million, why not just sit in Cleveland and chase a ring? And that in the
all
oh,
right,
so with
Houston
that,
Rockets.
I've chosen Toronto.
First of all,
sadly,
James Harden, game
their songs
what
are Five Finger Death Punch Is Never Enough or
all
Linkin
right, but
Park's.
Is there
in
anything
the
ulterior
end
here where it might float over? Like, Harden's not buying
they
into
tried
the system
so
anymore.
Hard.
Any kind
they
of anything
far,
like
in the
that
end, it didn't matter.
I only say that because I just hope it doesn't carry over into something in the offseason. Because, you know, you see this sometimes where players kind of quit or give in and they kind of like try to make their move in the front office of help.
No,
hey, we need help here.
We
need help there. And then they try to panic. They panic and they try to make a bunch of moves that might not be necessary because the star team, the star player wants them.
I think it's just more of look at the playoffs. Look at the Washington Atlanta series. When Washington went down,
okay,
20
so
to nothing or
they
20
have
to 3
Eric
in the first
Gordon
quarter.
And Ryan
they're
Anderson
like, we know
until
we're done.
2020 on their
we're
contracts.
Just play
but
it. And
a lot of people feel like
those,
even though
played it,
Eric Gordon
first,
really
you know,
well
six
all
minutes,
season
like, oh,
long.
I know we're
Lou
lose
Williams,
this,
who's
so
also who's going to be there for another
try.
Year, he came
the
off the bench
now.
And provided really well for them too. Ryan Anderson, despite him being a good player and being a good 3-point shooter, a lot of people think that contract's going to not. It's going to turn sour down the stretch. Would you trade Ryan Anderson right now while the getting is good? Well, the thing is, the reason I'm mentioning that with Harden is that if you look at the people, Harden who did the renegotiation and extension, where now he's not going to be a free agent coming into 2018, he's going
to
be in contract until 2020.
Eric
Gordon,
Lou
Williams, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella, who's a restricted free agent 2018, which is going to be interesting depending on whether or not they want to renegotiate that. Trevor Ariza, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Sam Decker, Shananu Anuaku, they're all signed at least through next season. The only one who's unrestricted is Nene. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if Harden wants a move
And
made, it's
if
got to
they
be
sign
through a
him for a
trade. That's the only, and it's got to
big
be a big
deal,
trade. You
bam,
have to
there's
shed
Capella's
one of those
money,
bigger
sort of
contracts
just as a
to make it
placeholder.
happen.
So this team is pretty clear cut. They've have their identity. They're just going to do what they're doing. You're going to hope for Harrell and Decker to step up because yep, so with
I do think that
that, I have
along
chosen
with
Bath
Capella,
Brooks
they
one
need
more time
another big
because
who can play
this team
defensively
is
in the case
winning.
that
They're
Capella
winning the
can't play.
way
Remember
they're
when he went out?
built. Doing
They need
anything
one
else
desperately.
will, you could trade Anderson
It
for a
isn't,
more
but if
defensive
they.
four, but then that's not the D'Antoni. We need more people to shoot
Well,
threes.
if they want to get better in the interior, which is was a huge problem against the Spurs when they were eliminated, they got to do it. But it, because of the fact that
Oh,
it's
they
built in that
do,
way, there's not
but
much they can really
that's
do.
not the way the system's set up. There's a difference between need and how they're going to run.
Yeah, but the thing is with D'Antoni, I mean, he made it work with Amari Stoudemire when he was in Phoenix, and what was the other stop in well, with New York, he had Amari Stoudemire, but he I
And
it's
they're instead of saying, well,
D'Antoni's
we
run
need
in
some
New
interior
York was so
presence,
kind of
they're just going
crazy,
to
it's
say,
hard
well,
to
we need to
really
shoot
judge
more. We need a
what was
stretch
a good fit and what
five.
was not. But you know, Amari in Phoenix, it worked where he could power things inside. Boris Diaw too. With the Rockets, it does feel like they've just totally fallen in love with the three ball, and it's and rightfully so. That's the way to win now in the NBA. You just don't want to go all the way over. You know, I mean, can Montrezl Harrell go to that level, or you just don't see it rebounding wise? He averaged less than 4 rebounds a game. Yeah.
Exactly.
Talk about teams who set Washington Wizards. The one thing that's kind of
Well, he couldn't get on the court
the
because of
one thing that makes
Nene.
me angry about what
Nene
Ernie, I
took
think,
all
because
his
Ernie
minutes,
Grunfeld's
so
a
it's one
GM
of
still
those.
in Washington, am
Well,
I
again, he'll
correct?
need to step up. Decker will need to step up because there's no
I
bench.
mean,
They
he's
have
been
no
there forever,
picks,
but the
and
thing
this
that
team is
angers
set,
me is that they
so
had
they
Otto
are
Porter.
who
They
they
could have
are.
negotiated that extension at before the October 31st deadline, and they didn't do it, and now they're going to pay dearly for it.
I believe so.
You mean should they extend him? Yes.
It's well, they could, but at the same time, should they? Yes. What if they? Because the whole point, John Wall was bitching and moaning that the bench killed him. The bench only scored 5 points. Well, that happens because you and Bradley Beal took all the
The
money.
one that's been dangled out there
Ian
is the
Mahimi's
possibility of
$60
being
million
able to trade
sort of
Marcin
killed them.
Gortat's contract,
But if it
because
wasn't for
at 12 million a
Bogdanovic, they probably
year or
wouldn't have
13
gotten as
million
far
somewhere
as they
around there
did to
for
begin with
until
because he was
2019,
really the
that's
saving
actually a
grace
fair
of that
contract,
bench.
but that's
Getting
also it
Jennings
passes the
upgraded them
day
from
test.
Trey
Like you,
Burke,
that's
who
a tradable
disappeared.
contract, so you're going to be able to move that, and you can use a little bit of that 12 million, or and then the other cap space you have from Bogdanovic, if you can't get him back as a restricted free agent, you can use that cap space to try to improve your bench. And then still keep Otto Porter Jr., which I think is vital. The one problem, though, is that Gortat has very good chemistry on pick and roll and on screen setting with John Wall and Bradley Beal. Do you really want to rock that boat? Your bench is dead. Like, now it's deader than dead. Your only good sixth man is Kelly Oubre Jr. Who, by the way, just had plasma surgery on his knee. Is that a worrisome thing?
But that's the question. You want to rock the boat.
I
But
mean,
if you
D'Angelo
give
Russell
Otto
had
Porter the
something very
money,
similar in
you
the
have no
midseason.
money for your bench, period.
Jason Smith is going to be there still until 2018. They already waived Marcus Thornton before the season even started. Bogdanovich, how do you think this is going to go with him? He was very good for them at
That's
times.
sort of
He had
not
some
good.
moments there against the Celtics where he was MIA.
Oh, he was very good in Brooklyn as well. He's the bench sharpshooter. The problem is,
Yeah, and you need to just scratch off Imahimi. It's just a bad contract. You can't trade it.
They have zero chance until 2020. It's just
about $17 million a year. No way.
Minimum deals, and can you do it with Beal, Wall, and Porter? Porter is good, but
he was horrible.
Is he worth the third max contract?
Yeah.
Well, if he comes back healthy next year, maybe, but they already had to give... Well, yeah, because he only came back for, like, a month. Basically, you know, you had to give a first-round pick just to get rid of Andrew Nicholson and his contract for 3 years.
But they didn't build it on
that.
They didn't build it on rock and roll.
You have no young bodies coming in. You have no bench. It's one of the music. So the music I chose for them is sort of the backhanded Jefferson Starship. We built this city because everybody said how it's the worst song of all time because they had long sold out. The team was different. This team is who it is. You can't complain about your bench when you take up all the money yourself and you know.
If you want to improve the bench along with keeping Otto Porter Jr. and keeping Gortat's contract on the books, Markieff Morris is one of the best contracts ever. It's like Jay Crowder, like $8 million a year until 2019. Bradley Beal already got paid. He blossomed. I mean, he was already a good player, but he really blossomed. Awesome regular season wise this past season to the tune of the money that he's paid. John Wall, here's the problem. He's an all-star. He's a perennial. He's going to probably be a perennial all-star in future years. He's basically untradeable, but you cannot do the renegotiation and extension for him where you can get him at the $35 million max or the 35% max. If you want to keep Otto Porter and do all this in the summer, there's just no way you can make the numbers work. So do you want to just run the risk of just having another year with Wall under this friendly cap-friendly contract with him stewing about it and then maybe renegotiate him in 2018? Yeah, it's not like a Curry deal where Curry took a real low ball deal in 2012, and they used that along with the max cap space and the increased caps and the increased cap flow to get Kevin Durant. That's it's not like that with Wall. He makes $18 million a year. That's nothing to sniff at. But he's worth way more than that, you know.
Oh, he is. He is the face of the franchise. However, it's just one of those. Well, if you move Gortat,
and defensive improvement's huge.
You know,
defensive
there goes your system
huge.
Sink.
That's,
if you move,
if you want to get
Morris,
somebody, you know,
well,
in the,
there goes
in,
your,
to help
your
you out on the bench,
sink
it would have to be one of those Patrick
so,
Beverly type of
are you get an
guards,
equal
Brandon,
value and you're
Brandon
you
Jennings
trade
and Trey
for
Burke
a
didn't
big,
get it done,
then that's just swapping so. A for B. That's not going to improve you. So it's just one of those things. Yeah. Well,
because
the
of how much wiggle
is
room
have
that they
to
have
come
to use
from,
to do the Porter extension,
who had some
also
good moments,
try to get something
just, well,
to improve
he's
the
a
bench.
Young
do you think that
Europe, they'll so
that means
to,
it's going to be sayonara
Otto
for
Porter
Trey
goes,
like
he has
straight
time
up just
to,
renouncing
you know, become
the
full
the
backup
to
3, where you can spell Beal or probably Oubre.
Okay, now we're going to go into the teams that were eliminated in the first round. Let's start with the Milwaukee Bucks out of the Eastern Conference. Bright future, really strange, unconventional type of style
of
team. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, would he be an untradeable player?
He just stopped playing altogether.
We were just talking about that. I'd like Antetokounmpo. Well, if you're the Rockets, I don't know with Mike D'Antoni, I don't know if Antetokounmpo would be a good fit.
Well, do you want to keep Antetokounmpo or would you rather have
younger.
James Harden? Who would blink first?
and you have him on a good contract too.
Would you rather have Russell
Westbrook? It was like something around the range of like 400, 4 years. Yeah.
See, these are just things, you know. Well, would you know? Is it worth a discussion? Well, then, we have Giannis, and then we have.
Yeah, their best addition was Chris Middleton because he came back from a hamstring injury and kind of saved them in the playoffs after Jabari Parker's injury. And where are we at with Jabari Parker?
We really should look at their
really interesting. Zach LaVine,
Plumlee, Henson, and Dalia Dover
with the Timberwolves, who we're not talking about in this episode because they didn't make the playoffs. Same situation. Really talented player, offensively efficient, but a torn ACL. For Jabari, it's the second one. So what do you do here? He's clearly a star player offensively, but do you give him – do you negotiate now to give him the max? He was the number two overall pick. He's proven to be a very good player. He's, if you had to do like a top five from that 2014 class, he'd probably be in that top five. But would you do it now? Okay, so you just let him, like, kind of like Otto Porter Jr. wound up.
No, with 2 years, you can't be offering 5 years for having, you know, a second ACL injury.
Greg Monroe, has he already opted in? I haven't followed the news
that closely.
Well,
okay, then you re-sign him. Other teams will also be wary of that, so it's not like...
I would.
Well, everybody's going to be chomping at the bit to get him.
Yeah, well, he played well in the playoffs. It was his first playoff appearance, so he's kind of jazzed.
Not exactly
but
a good sign.
He gets maligned a lot for that first season when he signed the big deal out of Detroit, and the Bucks didn't make the playoffs, and he got blamed a lot for the lack of chemistry. But he kind of came around the second season.
He's done well on that second unit.
You know? Yes. You can start Thong Maker and get a little bit more athleticism in your front court.
So I'll just – one simple question with this team.
You let Tony Snell walk
any
in restricted
that
free agency even though he was a valuable guard.
The starting.
So – and then you also let Jason Terry walk, you Spencer Hawes.
But
he's
already
starting
ceremoniously
and getting
spot minutes.
$6 million because I don't think he'd even get more than $6 million on the open market. You got to get more out of Mirza Teletovic to add to the mix. Man, they do have a little bit of cap room because if you're not going to re-sign Jabari Parker now and put that on your books this year, you've got a little bit of that money left over. Maybe you can get one of those more good defensive wings to help you out. What about 3-point shooting, which was, I mean, their 3-point percentage was 10th, but their 3-point made was 22nd.
Who would really
like they could
sign
they could
there
absolutely improve there, but do you think they
your
do you think that they have their mindset on somebody
young,
there in
they're
the, in
all
the free
set
agency
where
to
they
get,
are
to get one?
So there's really no room for growth for somebody to come over there.
Now Brogdon was a surprise. It wasn't like they went into training camp knowing, "Oh yeah, Brogdon's going to be our savior potential rookie of the year guy." You know, that the thing with Maker is that
no,
it kind of showed in the
Brogdon
playoffs, but if you look at his stats, he didn't really show because he's such a raw player. You know, like you didn't really expect him to just kind of like – he has those moments where he looks good, but he's not – he hasn't gotten to a point where he can put it together on the stat sheet. You know, Antetokounmpo was just like this back in 2013 and 2014, you know, where you could see the talent, but you didn't see it on the stat sheet. With Antetokounmpo, you now see it on the stat sheet. He's a stud. Just try to keep Giannis comfortable, you know. I mean, can we agree it's his team?
Yep, and
yeah,
so
I'm looking here. JJ Redick. I mean, didn't he play for Milwaukee once upon a time?
Just keep it going.
I don't know if you want to break like past $15 million a year to
keep
JJ Redick and then just let Tony Snell walk. I'd probably just match Tony Snell's
deal. Yeah, who's Jason Kidd's team because who knows
Rodney
what
Magruder?
He's doing.
Well, he's got a team option. Very likely he's going to get it's going to get dropped.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a few there. Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, there's a few guys there that might fit. The Indiana Pacers, this one's
messy.
Yeah,
but he's going to be off.
Larry Bird's
Crabbe
gone. He left the organization now for good. He's taken sabbaticals, but this time he's done. Kevin Pritchard is now going to be coming in as the regular GM, like the full-time GM. He's got a huge, huge problem on his hands with Paul George because there's a lot of indications that he's unhappy there. He wants to get out once his contract is up. He's not going to be committing to any kind of extension. So how does Indiana feel about this? Let's just start right there at the top because that's the head of the snake. Yeah, you had to pick up Lance.
I don't know
Stevenson
if he was unhappy,
scraps,
but they sure
like
picked that apart super fast. Of this is your team. This is the best you're going to get is Thaddeus Young, and you know you have the aging corpse of Monta Ellis, and you know you have Turner, who's yeah, so it's just one of those.
How
well,
good,
how can you
in your eyes, for real, is Jeff?
You have this
just
sort
give
of
me a real
Milwaukee
like an idea, like middle of the
a
pack.
Couple years ago,
better
well,
than
all
average.
You're be
like,
is just a six
I know
seat.
His
That's
numbers
the
best are
you
decent,
can max
but
out ever.
You know,
so
he's at 15 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists.
And,
he's a good free throw shooter.
You know, they have 2 more years and $42 million combined with Ellis and Jefferson.
Reggie Jackson's.
Well, he's everything and he's nothing. He's middle of the pack, but the problem is those who the have-nots are just are just you have your team is just so god awful. So he is invaluable to the team because they could have had the number 12 pick for him. Instead, they said we want Teague as part of this three-team deal.
You can't make any improvements cap-wise with Miles Turner and Thaddeus
so
Young. Turner's
you
on a rookie deal. He's a really good player. I mean, and you're in no pressure.
Now.
You're not under pressure
so
for the next year at
him.
Least
was
to resign him. Just
Hill? Yeah.
Keep him coming.
The problem
keep
is,
him churning. He's,
he was just
he's going to be a future star in the front court. Thaddeus Young, you got him until 2019. He's at $15 million a year. He's actually a pretty good player. He actually gets like a steal and a half per game. Still, he still has some versatility. You know, Al Jefferson has a non-guarantee on his second year. Would you keep him?
He's good, but he's
yeah,
not,
I mean, he's I would
not. He's
man,
just going to be one of those
consider
good
it. Like,
players.
If
he's
I could find a way
to
just maybe stretch him, but it's $9.7 million.
Move the needle.
And you're trying to make all this money work for Paul George if he's willing to take the 35% max and stay there. So
well,
do you want
to
risk
him,
stretching
so
that
next year?
You know. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the numbers wrong. He's got at least one more season for Al Jefferson. But, I mean, do you think they need another big? They need another big to go with Miles Turner. Probably. Yes.
No, because now it's two. He has 2 years left, so even though the last year
and
not
is Paul George,
it's
like a lot of people are complaining. Well, there was kind of like a campaign against him to not get all NBA because it makes it easier to put the numbers together for a team. Like for example, there's a new
big,
incentive. There's incentives in these talent contracts for 35% max that you have to make all NBA, either first team, second team, and if you do not make all NBA, like Gordon Hayward and Paul George did not, it's easier for a team to sign him away, and the discrepancy in money that the original team can offer versus a new team is not as wide. So the idea is, well, there was like a conspiracy to keep Paul George out of the All NBA squad. Do you agree with that? Do you think he was like worthy of an All NBA squad? Did you have a song for Indiana?
No, because those who made it equally deserved it. Like, you had, what was it, Draymond Green saying, bitching about Klay Thompson, how he should have made it. Who are you going to replace on that
list?
It's
going to be a rocky year next year. I don't think it's going to end
well
with the
Paul George
Indiana
thing. There's not one of those, well, nobody said,
they've had a great
run. How did this person
make
the list?
I mean, he got drafted there in 2010, and he, I mean, there was that little part in 2013 and 14 where they were right there with Miami, where I felt like, man, this team's built to beat them, but they couldn't do it. Okay, Atlanta Hawks. This is weird. So they let Al Horford walk in free agency. They didn't want to give him that fifth year. Boston gave him the fifth year. We'll see if Boston
like
takes that.
It's the Garnett thing. You
they,
can only get so
signed
far with
Howard.
All right, now we just need
Horford
to blow it up because
they draft DeAndre Bembry and Torian Prince. They also deal away Jeff Teague. Dennis Schroeder is now the starting point guard. And they also re-sign Kent Bazemore to big money so that he can play as the starting three. So it was a different look last year. It was they started out hot, then they really, really cooled off. They made the playoffs at some. They hovered around 500, I believe, right? Something around like 42-40. Yeah, 43-39. I was being pessimistic. Well, now he's gone. Wes Wilcox is out.
They were. The problem was their GM work last year did not do too well. I don't know. We don't know what your goal was. You think you could play Horford, Howard, and Millsap together at any stage
in the playoffs?
Of the game.
He played well. You know, he's 23 years old, so he's one of those guys where if you're going to get it, you need to get
it
now.
You signed Dwight Howard,
so I like the fact that
now
he started
him a lot.
Bembry
him
barely
and
played.
Scruffed him because he's like, well,
Jose Calderon,
all these to me, and
what happened
happen.
In the playoffs? Did
so
he just have
he
one
has
good game
no
is what
trade
it was?
Value anymore.
Against the Wizards?
Yeah, Torian Prince, he was a – you know what? He came along at the end.
Mike Dunleavy has probably priced himself out. I mean, so – I hate to say it. It's crazy to say that because he's 36 years old, but he played really, really well when he got cut by Cleveland. You know, Tabo Cefalosha,
like,
he's probably
around.
I think he'll probably wind up. You know, we were talking about defensive wings for Milwaukee. Cefalosha might be one of those guys.
Well,
you know, Ersan Ilyasova, another guy.
You
know, Atlanta's got a lot of these guys under the bench that actually played surprisingly well when nobody expected it. Is it fair to say that maybe even though they have Millsap and Dwight Howard and Schroeder at point guard, that maybe the team sort of overachieved? Yeah.
No. Because the bench played well, it's just, again, they were a dysfunctional
yes.
team where they don't know whether they're
Miami
tanking, are they supposed
is
to be good.
We're not going
to
talk
and
about Miami,
fact,
but they're
know,
interesting
they
because
the fifth seed.
Of the news that came down, and this is just a killer on my expansion
they,
draft teams
Milwaukee,
that we did last year.
You know, young,
that Chris Bosh has
doing.
Been decided
Indiana,
that he does have
train
a career-ending
Chicago,
illness
anything below
or,
that,
or condition. And so, they made the arrangement that Miami can keep the money. So, you know, we already talked about that on the playlist if you want to talk about Miami. But, you know, for Atlanta, you know, I don't know if a lot of teams can lap them. So I get what you're saying. Milwaukee might, you know, but not a lot of room after. Well, that's the big question of with Millsap at age 32. Yeah. And he opted out of $21 million, which means this him and his people are convinced
there's a lot of teams
he'll get something
might,
around $28 million
at the least.
If they want to
re-sign Millsap for 5 years, yeah. He's 32, Howard's 31. Your front and there's zero backups.
Not he was pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, he's going to earn it. It's just how many years are you going to pay that?
And Dwight Howard is
it's
just
– you know, they have
you know,
no
the
backup
numbers,
big men.
It's 13 points, 12.8 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, 62% field goal percent. That's really good
they,
for a center
they
in the
had
NBA
their
today. But when you watch him
season,
and you know Dwight
year,
Howard you saw in Orlando and Houston
the
even,
shine sort
you're
of
just
wears
like,
off.
Man, that's not the Dwight Howard I remember. you know? Because of Dwight Howard.
So with that, I sort of just take the tongue-in-cheek Three Doors Down Kryptonite song.
Well, their offense has to get better. Tim Hardaway Jr. was surprise for them offensively. He gave him a punch, but he's a restricted free agent. He sort of played his way back into being relevant. Do you think he's another guy that kind of priced himself out along with Ilyasova?
It's a messy situation for Atlanta.
So you're thinking that the offer sheet that he gets, they'll just let him walk and try to get another small forward in there or another shooter? Okay. Ilyasova, Cephalosha, Mike Muscala, who actually played pretty well for them in different portions. Chris Humphries, Jose Calderon.
They didn't want to pay him money because they knew he was going to get paid.
Are any of those guys coming back? So it's going to be kind of – well, with the new GM, Travis Schlenk, who was the assistant GM with the Golden State Warriors, you want to put your – you want to make your mark. You want to say, hey, this is how it's going to be. Paul Millsap – take your money wherever it is you're going, Miami or Boston or whatever it might be. You can take your money. Well,
if they're cheap enough.
Hardaway, see you later. You know, then you just kind of make your moves and, you know, it's almost a rebuild. It's kind of sad to say that because it sort of felt like a rebuild last season. Now it's like another one, but you got the same coach for the entire rebuild. And I'll say this. I think Mike Budenholzer is a very good coach. Like, I would take him over, 20 other coaches in the NBA right now? But
– well, the problem – the same coach, but the problem is just really that good team, you couldn't Chicago keep Bulls up that – you know, that style of play they were trying to do.
Was great at Ohio State. What am I thinking? Iowa State. But, you know, his alma mater. But – NBA, it just doesn't fit. And it doesn't fit based on the personnel. And even when they made the changes with Dwayne Wade, you still made changes that did not fit what he wanted to do. But you can't do this. You don't do any of this in the NBA to massage the ego of the head coach. You do it for the players because the players are the guys that win you games. How sad is it that when Rajon Rondo, who was maligned the entire regular season for being a cancer to the Bulls, when he broke his hand and he was out for the rest of the Boston series when the Bulls went up 2-0 and won the first two games of Boston, that people were dying to have Rondo back. Do you think Rondo has basically like got himself into a situation because of the injury that they realized how bad the backups were in Jerian Grant, Michael Carter Williams, and he basically played himself back. He basically DNP'd himself back into being the starting point guard and getting a team option picked up. Yeah, but I don't think they. But I don't know if they realized that until he was out. It was a Bob Marley situation. Don't know what you got till it's gone. Since we're throwing songs out there.
Well, Jimmy Butler says we have to have him. He's the best guy.
That is
a
befuddling one. You know, and not only that, you traded away Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson. Now, Gibson's contract was expiring, but McDermott was still pretty good. I didn't really understand.
It's one of those just why would you trade for Cameron Payne and then
he's got an ankle
don't play him in the playoffs?
He's
going to
miss
even bother.
Pretty much the majority of the offseason, so maybe that was bothering him all rookie year, you know?
Yeah, McDermott was there, and you had your first round pick, Denzel Valentine, was outplayed by Cristiano Felicio.
They totally lost out, though, on the Tony Snell, Michael Carter Williams deal.
So, you know, you started off good, getting rid of Noah, getting rid of Derrick Rose, just fleecing New York for that, getting Robin Lopez for that.
Gar Pax? You mean Gar Foreman and John Paxson?
Yeah, you trade for Carter Williams, then don't play him. You trade for Cameron Payne, don't play him. Like, who it's... So with this team,
it's like a
Del Demps
situation
took that
where
Del Demps
just
one of
always
us is going
thinks
down
he's going to get fired
because
he tries
the
to
GM and the coach
moves
cannot
that don't make
sense.
And it feels like that's a lot of times with the Bulls, that they're always making moves that don't make sense.
It's just –
Nikola Mirotic, what is his restricted free agency
one
situation?
Of them
is he just a straight-up restricted free agent?
I just can't figure out which one right now.
Okay, so he's unrestricted, Nikola Mirotic? Because I didn't really have – I have my papers here as restricted, but I wasn't exactly sure. out of his Euroball club. So do you think how big of a priority is it for Mirotić? Because when Wade went down with the injury at the end of the regular season, Mirotić had a really good month of April.
He didn't sign under the first. He just signed for 3 years, $15 million.
Yeah, and Jerrion Grant's untradeable because he played himself out of any value. I mean, I liked him, but he was so awful in the Boston series that he was like, you can't even move him unless you just want to straight up cut him. And he's got three more years at least on his team.
I don't know what this team is doing.
Yeah, along with campaign. Paul Zipser, good player. You know, I think they actually kind of made a base hit with that one. Felicio, it says here restricted free agent. How important would it be?
Well, he's
to keep
a rookie
Felicio?
Deal, so it's just one of those. Well, let's hope he learns. If not, let's send him to the Windy City.
Okay, so they might be able to just pick him up. Okay, Anthony Morrow. See you later. Which is sad because he was part of the Oklahoma City Thunder deal. Am I right?
I think he's just one of those rookie team options.
I mean, it just makes the Thunder deal look even worse, is what I'm saying. Robin Lopez, I like him. I think he's a good fit in Chicago. You know, then there's the Jimmy Butler stuff about being traded. I don't know about any of that. I think that's a bunch of hooey. I don't think he's going to get traded.
Was he? But he's just sort of a shell of himself now.
That's kind of the situation that the Hornets are in. Then that means your second best player is bad. Well, not only that, there's regular season Wade, which is really, like, devolved, and then there's playoff Wade, who's still pretty good.
Well, you don't know if he's worth the option, but then again, you don't know what you have nothing behind him. There's zero replacement for him.
Okay, let's go ahead and just move on to the Western Conference. We got the four teams that were knocked out in the first round. We'll just go as quickly as we can just for the sake of time.
Yeah, he's good, but it's just one of those,
Portland Trailblazers.
Is he worth $27
million? Man, yeah, I don't know if they can really do anything anyway. They're so far over the cap. They're going to be dipping into the tax. You still got the worry of like what you're going to do with Jozef Nurkić, who played really, really well for them. Did get an injury at the end of the season, but he should bounce back. But you got to try to keep him on his contract, but you overpaid for these other guys like Myers Leonard, who's almost dead money at this point. He was unplayable down the stretch. Mo Harkless, Evan Turner, who is good, but I don't know if he's exactly like indispensable to the team makeup. You know, they have all these guys that kind of play the same roles, and they don't really. It doesn't really fit together as like an elite team, but you pay them like they're an elite team. Well, I will. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get rid of Von Lake because you need that backup big help after you had traded away Plumlee. And Ed Davis has been unreliable
help-wise. Just to get some money. They have no roster spots. It's one of those, what was the GM thinking? Because it really makes no...
And even the little guys that you like Pat Connaughton and Tim Quarterman, you're going to have to let them go too because you got to find a way
terrible.
To make the cap.
Festus Ezeli was a horrible signing. Trading Vonleh, getting for Vonleh has paid absolutely dividends whatsoever. You spent all your money getting wings. You put.
Yeah, McCollum's money kicks in this season at 23 plus. So.
You have to get rid of them to get other second-round picks for minimum value. And it's... Yeah,
so you don't think it works?
Big, you know, the elephant between McCollum, Lillard, and CJ McCollum are the same player
because it worked. It worked the 1 year where they overachieved and made the second round, and they're harping off of that.
They have the same strengths, the same weaknesses.
Alan Crabb.
It's only a matter of time before one of those two.
I mean, it's a $19 million per year contract. You match the offer sheet from.
How can it work for so long if they both have the same deficiencies?
Offer sheet. Was that a blink in you? Blinked and you crashed the car kind of thing.
You got to give away some firsts for him. Kind of. It was one of those, why would you re-sign him if
you
get
Evan
Turner,
and Leonard.
Sort of
that's
the same
how I feel.
Skill set.
And then between Crabb, you know, be down the road, between Crabb and Turner, one of them's got to go. But
signed,
I do not know how you're going to get any of those contracts off your books. I mean, because they don't end until 2020. I mean, you really – a team would have to be desperately wanting one of those players in order to make it work. Or they're just trying to add cap space onto their – or add cap onto their team because they're tanking, something like that. Memphis Grizzlies, you know, they actually had a good year. I can't really say too many bad things about Memphis, even though I was a little suspicious about how much money they were spending and how the Chandler Parsons deal blew up in their face. But Mike Conley is a star now. Marc Gasol played really well. It gets interesting now because Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, who are also holdovers from that that grit and grind, they're up for their deals. So what do you do with them? Grit and grind.
Oh, it's just
yeah.
One
he's
of those,
in that
you know,
Dwayne Dedman
time
situation.
Over,
would that be fair
fallen
to say?
You're old.
Where
what is it? Ground and pound, grind city, or whatever they're called. Yeah, they're
yeah,
over.
Parsons,
you
yeah.
have major question marks. To Michael Green.
James Ennis worked out okay.
If you re-sign
so that's
him,
something
that's
they can
your,
fall back on.
He's
Brandon
one of your
Wright.
Cornerstones now.
He could be better. I mean, I don't want to call it a bad contract because that's $6 million a year.
You
it's
have
not bad
million
at all. Vince Carter's retiring,
Gasol,
most likely.
Conley,
either he's retiring or he'll probably go
so
chase
you
for
got
a title
no
somewhere
money
else.
Anymore.
So we'll see there. Andrew Harrison is a reliable. Is it fair to call him a reliable backup point guard or just a bench backup? Okay. Yeah, Wayne Baldwin IV, the first round pick. Wayne Selden from the D League kind of found a place there. Deontay Davis, who remember is a guaranteed contract, even though he was a second round pick. He was like the first guaranteed second round pick contract ever. He's going to have to step
there.
In now if Zebo leaves.
The same thing as
I mean, first of all, do
Wayne
you think
Baldwin.
Zebo's leaving? I think Tony Allen's going to walk. I think they were encouraged by how they played without him against the Spurs.
No, I see him. They'll probably try to re-sign him for
okay.
a year or two.
Troy Daniels
or,
is going to still be
year.
There. It kind of feels like this, it's going to be the same
Tony
team,
Allen,
even though
no,
without
yeah,
Tony Allen,
he's
Zach
too
Randolph,
old
it's
for them to be valuable.
It's definitely a different Memphis Grizzlies team because they're not. They weren't exactly like
so. It's going to be he'll be
players,
on the Warriors
Zebo got
or
eight
Cleveland
rebounds
next
and Tony
year
Allen got 1.6 steals a game. I mean, Tony Allen's still an all defensive type of player, but. You know, you got to turn the page here somehow. Dave Fizdale's done a good job of kind of pivoting the team towards Conley at the lead, but there are a few more changes going to be made. But I'll say this, I do trust them. I trust the Memphis Grizzlies front office to make the right move is what I'm trying to say. Oklahoma City Thunder. First of all, does Russell Westbrook rip up his contract and do another extension so he can get max extension?
Well, this was the first year of the This Is Russ's Team. So everything, as much as I want to be hard on him and be like, well, you know, he's killing the team, he is the killer, this is just Russell Westbrook and, and 10 other people. This was just year one where nobody knew what to expect.
Well, if you combine
so you have
Zach
to
kind of
go slow
and
with
Tony
it.
Allen's
you have to
age,
sort of,
they would
I mean,
be 70
that
years
into
old.
Consideration
That's
the
still older than the Who,
also
right?
Memphis.
Or is the Who still
I,
older
you
than
forgot
that?
To ask. I picked My Generation by the Who, or Time by Pink Floyd, or When I'm 64 by the Beatles.
What did you think of Victor Oladipo as the sidekick to a playoff team?
That's just one of the things, just the team got very old. But moving back to Oklahoma City, what are you doing? You had a full year with Westbrook, and then nobody could do anything else? You can't say, oh, can't play Canner. Well, then you've run nothing other than just, well, we'll give the ball to Westbrook.
That's a good comparison in terms of, like, your position in the league, Thaddeus Young. You know, like, I could see maybe in about five more years, that's what Victor Oladipo
is,
like a good three, like a good third or fourth guy. You know, but on a team like this, I'm not sure. Steven Adams,
I
like him still.
He'll be good.
He's one of those guys I like that gets, like, more than a steal and more than a block per game, which means he's got defensive versatility, and he's only 23 years old. But he didn't really step in, like, as, like, a top rebounder and a top scorer. Do you think he can still do that?
And that's sort of where we've been is, oh, he's good, but, well, did they do anything with him all year round? No. Did they do anything with anybody all year round? No. They got McDermott. Okay, well, what do they do with him? Nothing. You had a whole
when you
year
say resign,
to try to
that?
Do some change other
Westbrook.
Change
well,
something
here's the
up
thing.
Or have the team
Westbrook is in
a
situation
a
where just
no,
like
we'll
he did last summer
you know,
after Durant
left,
year. They renegotiated
and
his
then,
contract.
Yes, like
well,
you said,
they got
those,
an exemption on this
resign,
CBA, the new
then
CBA,
this team
where
is just completely doomed
they,
because this
they
roster
can
is going to be completely
redo
garbage
the contract
without him.
Another time so that they can give him the 35% max.
Westbrook,
you know, or do it, or he can wait until his player option in 2018 opt out and then get the money if he's willing to stay in Oklahoma City. Hopefully Oklahoma City doesn't have to go through the will he or won't he stuff. But the problem is it might be better off for the Thunder if they can make him wait a year, because by doing that they'll be able to get the contract under the gun for Andre Roberson, who's a pretty good player. Well, they have a little bit this season if they don't renegotiate. Oh, I agree with that. I think he's going to get overvalued. I agree with that.
They have no money for him.
Steven Adams.
They have no money for him if he's willing to take, like, next to nothing.
Well, I'm kind of being optimistic
market,
about it that they
get
can try
much,
to make
much
it
more
work
than he
and
can get
go
with
over
Oklahoma
the tax
City because
or
all
go
your
into
money,
the tax.
Your money has gone to Cantor. Your money has gone for $20 million for Oladipo. Your money has gone
yeah.
For Steven Adams, you don't
you only,
have
the rule
money
of thumb is that you only go
now.
Into the, and we see this with which, Paul Allen in Portland. That's why they're going backward, recoiling. You only go into the tax if
we
you
also,
know you're going to win a championship.
And they're not going
to
go over the tax.
Like,
that's the reason.
That's why
Harden
the Golden
left.
State thing was
Harden
kind of like
go
a anticlimactic.
Clay Bennett,
it's
like,
even though there's all these
the
free agents and it
then.
Looks like doom and gloom,
and that's
it's really not
are,
because they're
going to
pay them all anyway. You go into the tax. Peter Lacob's going to go in, or Joe Lacob. He's going to go into the tax to keep these people. You know. Yeah, repeat offender. Yeah. Have you picked any song
same
that's like later than 19, like
87?
Okay, 87?
We'll go into the cap. We'll go into the tax. I have no problem being a repeater. Or a repeater.
Punch,
oh, here we are in the finals again. Yeah. So with that, I gave Sister
think,
Sledge
okay,
We Are
I'll
Family
just
because
give you
they,
the names,
this is
you just
now
tell
is the
you
time to be like, okay, let's become a team.
I'll give you the free
Westbrook
agents
had
first.
His
Taj
moment.
Gibson,
now we realize
unrestricted. I don't think he's going to stay. I think he'll.
I had Sick Puppies.
Jerry and Grant team option.
I
I'd
had
pick
Five
it
Finger
it's
Death Punch. I had one.
I mean, that
Lincoln,
makes...
Lincoln Park.
Nick Collison is Udonis Haslam. Yeah, I mean, you give him the little penny scratches that you still got. And then you just or table scraps.
I don't. There's no room
you just
for him.
Keep him happy because he's been like he's like Thunder loyal. You know he's one of those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, he's
Samaje Christie.
Have somebody better who's going to be a veteran minimum.
Awful
no,
as a backup
fine.
Point guard of Westbrook. What do you do here? I they have a 20. They have the 21 pick, right? Thought they did. I thought they have a first.
Oh, you get a second round pick. You have Melo Trimble. You have Frank Jackson. You. Do they?
Alex Abrines, Domantas Sabonis, Doug McDermott.
Well, nevertheless, they also have
raise your hand verbally if you have any comments.
You have players who are willing to be like, okay, I'll totally do it. And, you know, Ron Baker in New York just, oh, yeah, I'll be an undrafted free agent. I'll go wherever. So. Sabonis, you start him.
Abrines had,
no had
some good 3-point shooting at the start because they were playing
four.
Him a lot.
And then, what do we
not
do
as a starter, but they were playing kind of off the bench
young,
as a 3-point
slow,
shooter. That's sort of his game.
You have Cantor and
but overall,
Adams, and
Thunder,
you realize he sort of
it's
can't
still
play
a little
well
bit rocky
and,
in terms of their cap situation because of Westbrook, because of the fact that you're probably going to have to save like $7 million more on top of what you're already paying him because he's going to have to go into the Supermax. But it's going to be at the price of probably losing Roberson. They would have to have an incredibly fortunate one-sided trade in order to get back in the mix. That's what it would have to be. Los Angeles Clippers. Are we kind of saving the best for last year in terms of sizzle and sex appeal in terms of offseason moves?
You're not in danger of falling out of the playoffs
anytime soon. Oh, okay. That was like 2002.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, let me see what song I picked from the 50s for them. Oh, I got Sugar Ray When It's Over. Or you could just play the soundbite of Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. Because you talk to Doc Rivers.
Yeah, the word
says,
is
well,
that there's
gonna
mutual
bring the band
interest,
back together. We're gonna do
but
it
that
again.
The Spurs might
just,
not
well,
be willing to actually pull
you're
the trigger
worse
on
and
it.
Worse and worse and worse, and then there were rumors going up that Chris Paul is legitimately thinking about San Antonio now, as opposed to, oh, well, some reporter threw this out. There's no merit to it. Then all of a sudden, oh, wait, maybe there sort of is. You have...
I think as an unrestricted free agent, I think there's a really good chance he's gone. I don't think he'll be coming back to Los Angeles. He'll get over...
You have no bench. You have... You gave all your money to Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford.
I will say this with Griffin and Paul. I don't think they're
JJ Redick.
I don't think they're like a package deal. It's not one of those things where
if
Paul leaves, it's a rebuild. Blake Griffin's going to go to Boston or go to, like, I don't know, Detroit or whatever else
you
can make
up.
Like, I think if Paul, I think it's the inverse. I think if Paul leaves, Griffin gets maxed out in the LA. The window has closed.
Oh yeah, but this is just again.
Yeah, because of Jordan.
This is
now,
Doc
at least
Rivers
to the length of Jordan's
saying
contract
I'm desperately trying to keep everything together. I'm going to keep everyone together, and it's just like, well, what are you going to do? Your window is you have a 1 to 2 year window. It's closed, but I'm saying in his mind, he thinks he might have another 2 years left. Yeah, so it's with that team, okay, we have like one more chance or two more chances top. So come on, guys, let's do it for one last hurrah. Well, they tried it and then they got worse this past year. And then they're going to probably try it again next year and it's going to be the same thing. And that's why I said just Sugar Ray when it's over. You have, year in, year out, this is just the
yeah, I mean, Paul Pierce is retiring. Alan Anderson didn't do much. Brandon Bass, I barely
remember
him.
You can't have a bench anymore
Raymond Felton, even though he was valuable under
Rick
Carlisle
in
Dallas because Rick Carlisle is a
fucking
wizard.
Starting four at times.
He didn't really do much in L.A.
And then outside of him, it's just Austin Rivers and then
nobody. He started sometimes, especially when Griffin went out. They had to play Bates a bit against Utah. But let me say this. Paul and Griffin both went out basically at the same time against Portland in the playoffs in 2016 when they were eliminated pretty quickly because they lost the last three games. This time Griffin went out Paul was healthy. Paul had a tremendous statistical series against Utah, but it still wasn't enough. Has that proven that Blake Griffin's value is actually a lot better for LA than people thought? Okay. He was so athletic coming out of college that even with a like a layer taken off, he's still one of the most athletic players in the league.
He's very good at what he does. He's not. He hasn't been. He hasn't lost his speed to the point where he's just a big guy who's slow and will try to dunk. Yeah. He's still very valuable, and yeah, he could. And as we've seen,
Channing Frye,
teams are seem to forgetting, because you have the anchor as Jordan, he can roam around and do all.
Yeah,
these
but
things.
That was a big strength against Utah. That was the reason why they put Griffin and Jordan together, bullying them inside, getting Rudy Gobert in foul trouble.
Jordan was gone.
Well,
got,
Gobert was injured also, but what it was is that they got the other.
Yeah, they would not be as good because now he can't do the things he usually does.
What do the Clippers have to improve upon in order to really make the next step? They're good defensively. They're not great. They're really good offensively.
GM Doc has his work cut out for him. And as, you know, we've sort of seen coach, you know, teams who hired the GM and the coach, you know, oh, I want GM. Well, it hasn't worked out for really sort of anybody yet.
Yeah, like the Griffin injury 2 years in a row. Yeah, pretty much like that.
They just...
But I mean, that's kind of wrapping up all of the entirety of the teams that made the playoffs, including the top two teams that are still playing in the NBA Finals as we speak. But overall, like, if you give me a team here that you like, you really keep your eye on, either for good or for ill.
So, well, of these playoff teams outside of Boston,
my interest is can the Wizards keep the nucleus that they have in order to be legitimate so that they can keep going up a level. I want to see what happens with Atlanta if they really go into rebuild mode again. Obviously, the Spurs and what they do if they really want to just do the changeover, let Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili go and try to go after a big fish. And then the Jazz, because the Jazz just have a lot of questions, at least coming into this summer, going into next summer, and a lot of the moves that they're going to make are going to probably be influenced by what they're going to do the following summer anyway. And then the Clippers. I mean, the Griffin Paul thing is fascinating because this might be the end. Like, we're going to see. Yes. And then obviously Boston, your guys. I mean, but we'll see there with Boston. I mean, the thing with Boston, why I kind of hate to do this for an NBA podcast, but we kind of sidestep most of their issues, is that you could literally do an entire episode about the options for the Celtics, because you could literally do anything with the cap.
Yeah, but it's going to happen quick.
It's ridiculous. And the thing is, too, you could do those five different scenarios, and on paper they all look good. But like four of them are work out terribly, you know. Like it's you just don't know. You just and one of those scenarios might
win
you a title.
You could have a whole,
you know, but
just
you got to have every break go your way and blah blah blah.
Five different scenarios and five different.
It's going to be interesting.
All of which.
I mean, are you going to be continue? Are you still watching the NBA Finals, or you've already given up after game one? I mean, I know you got a lot of other things on your mind, so I'm sure you'll be singing in the background, but. Yes.
It'll be background, I bet.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll find a way. We'll either do it
in
remote, or we're gonna have to do it on some kind of like crazy call.
Next week, the next one will be the NBA draft preview, which the draft is the 22nd. When will that episode be?
Yeah.
We'll
okay, on behalf
figure
of Adam Murray,
it out.
This is Andrew Reeves. Take care, everybody, and thank you.
We'll get it in time, but just there will be a week off just for I don't know, rest, no reason really.